Sat Sri Akal, Assalamu Alaikum, Namaste, and welcome. You are listening to A Woman's World. My name is Purvi Shah, and I'm excited to bring you a show about women's dreams and challenges facing our community. Though a majority of our world and leaders in our communities and homes, women's voices are often unheard. This show aims to change that. Each week, we will delve into a new story of women making dreams come true. We hope to tap new experiences and create a ground for dialogue as well as change. As a poet and changemaker myself, I want to create this ground with this show. You can read more about my work and writing, including my book of poetry, Terrain Tracks, at www.purvipoets.net. That's PURVIPOETS.NET. Or follow me on Twitter at Purvi Poets. As you all know, our first show focused on sexual violence and the second on a love of language and how we write our dreams. Today, I'm excited to have you all with me as I speak with Kathak dancer and choreographer Parul Shah. Welcome, Parul, to A Woman's World.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me a little bit. I know that you're an internationally acclaimed Kathak dancer and that you're known for your choreography, particularly for its work in terms of thinking about a traditional form and new movements. So for our audience, could you first just start off by telling us, like, what is Kathak, just so that they know?
Sure. So Kathak is one of the five, or actually today, six main classical dance forms from India. Kathak is from the northern parts of India, and it evolved with the root word katha, which means to tell a story. So when it came about, it was solely danced by men, and they were called kathakas, and they were storytellers. And what their goal basically was is to tell stories of Hindu mythology with the goal, the intent of spreading Hinduism. And so how they did this is through simple mime, simple dance, simple footwork, and singing. So that's the evolution, the beginnings of the form. However, Kathak really, in its history, it changed, it flourished, it became more sophisticated in its history. During the Mughal period, was a great time for Kathak. And it then became a shared religious dance form, as opposed to just being a Hindu art form. It also became a dance form that was influenced a lot by Islamic culture. During that time.
What are some of the ways that, Mughal culture influenced the shape of Kathak?
So yeah, we have a great, so in our repertoire, which is also, it's different for Kathak, being that it, not everything that we dance has a specific meaning. In most of the other forms, it's the expressional aspect of the dance form, and the pure technique is generally all together. In Kathak, we have it separate, but we do have, during the Mughal period, where they came with these beautiful Urdu poetry, which we call ghazals. So Kathak dancers dance to ghazals. We have taranas, which have no specific meaning, but they have these certain rhythms that are spoken, like nadardani, tumdardani. So that developed during the Mughal period.
Interesting. So it's this combination of some of the histories of India, and then you're doing it here in the United States. How did you decide to get interested in dance to begin with?
Well, I think as a kid, I loved movement. I loved dancing. And my parents saw my interest, so they put me in different classes. And then, of course, being that I'm, you know, they're Indian, they really tried to get me into Bharatanatyam.
And you so said
I was taking Bharatanatyam. I don't think I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I also did a little bit of ballet, a little bit of jazz, like some workshops. Then I saw,
and how old were you at this time? I'm just trying to get a sense of
probably like around, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10. And then I went to a performance and I saw a Kathak dancer. And I was absolutely blown away. And I'm like, this is what I want to study.
Wow.
So then I started training.
And what, as a kid, what blew you away? Like, what did you notice that seemed just so amazing? Do you remember?
I think it was her dress. I think it was her dress, you know, and all of the pirouettes, what we call chuckers.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what did it for me. Yeah, because the dress was just so beautiful and I loved the turns and it was so graceful. I just, and since then, it's been something I've been, it's my passion. It's my career. It's been my career. But
that's amazing. It's amazing that, especially your own work, I think it's so just, there's so many quick turns and you're mm-hmm. so sprightly in terms of how you move. So mm-hmm. it's amazing to have this like young memory and then where you are now. Do you ever like look back and think, oh my God, I can't believe I actually did this?
Yeah. I mean, I never really thought that it would become my career.
Hmm.
I think I studied in undergrad, I did political science and I always thought I'd become a lawyer. I wanted to do international law.
Hmm.
So I always knew that, because I really got into dance probably when I was about 14, 15. So I always knew that would be a big part of my life. But, you know, being an artist is, it has a lot of struggles. It's not an easy, it's not an easy career by any means.
Mm.
So I think it was a difficult choice, but I'm really lucky because my parents were very supportive.
Mm.
And I kept feeling that, you know, dance, unfortunately, it definitely has its peak. And I didn't want to miss out. And I think in college, I started dancing a lot. I started teaching really early. I started teaching really early, and I don't know if I should say this, but
yeah.
Yes. Okay, but yes, you were my first student. I started teaching at Lotus Fine Arts, and that's when we met. And that was a long time ago, but yeah. But
you don't have to tell people how long ago.
It was a long, I will just leave it at it was a long time ago. I just started, you know, performing a lot and being really active with it, and I think I was in my second or third year in college, and I kind of felt that, you know, this is something, especially Indian classical dance, is something that I can offer to my society, to my community. Whereas, you know, there are, and also you can do that with law, but there are so many lawyers already out there, and that there will be many more lawyers in my generation, and so few Kathak dancers, and especially at that time, I feel like there's definitely much more of a community of dancers today. So I felt like that's something that I can really offer, and it's I felt like, you know, if I wanted to do something with law or human rights or whatever, I can always do that later on in my life. Whereas in dance, you do have your peak, and I didn't want to miss that.
That's so interesting in terms of feeling like dance can be an offering to the community, and that you saw this gap in terms of something that wasn't happening. Was it easy or was it a challenge for you to learn Kathak being based here in the United States? What was that process like?
Yeah, I started here. I had a teacher here. And then I decided before I started college that I would go for a year to India. And that again was an amazing experience. I have a great, I met this, my guru now, Srimati Kumudini Lakhia. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And so I went to study with her in Gujarat and Ahmedabad. And I thought it would be something that, you know, I'd go for a year, come back and, you know, start NYU, and that was it.
Do your lawyer degree.
Exactly.
And, you know.
I mean, I knew always, as I said, I'll always be dancing. I just didn't know to what extent. And I think that experience going to India really, because I was also young, you know, and I think I've lived quite a sheltered existence up until then, and then I went to India and I was all on my own staying as a paying guest, and it was quite an experience, and I loved it, and I just fell in love with dance. It was almost starting over, like learning in India. The teachers here at that time, I mean, you know, they were great, but the teaching style was very different.
Mm.
And so there were a lot of holes in my education of Kathak, a lot of things that I just never learned.
Mm.
And a lot of things I was just doing because I thought it looked right. And
you're
so,
like, I've seen that in a movie somewhere.
Exactly.
And it must be right.
So yeah, so it was, I went there and I had to relearn things. But you know, I absolutely fell in love. And so after that, during my undergrad, I went twice again to few semesters off, and so I finally graduated, and then again I went back, and so yeah.
Were there other Americans who were there studying at the same time? Like, did you have a community you felt like, or was the community mostly Indian?
Yeah, no, there are definitely a lot of people that come study with Gubi Ben. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Americans, a lot of people from England. Mm-hmm. And right now she gets a flux of Japanese students.
Interesting.
Yeah, lots of Japanese students, and a lot of people from England. Yeah, and Germany.
So did it make you feel like you were still doing something really new, or?
When I was studying there? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, as I said, it's been a long journey. I've been going, I've now gone and I've spent, you know, lots of, like, first I went for a year, then I went for a semester, again, I went for a semester, then I went for 7 months, and, you know, now it gets shorter and shorter, but I was just there last year. So no, it doesn't feel new, but it's always, you know, I feel like, and that's why I keep going, because I think it's really important to always learn. You know, I think it's very important in your growth. And I do feel like that learning process happens regardless if I'm learning about dance or if I'm learning about something else or if I'm reading a book. But I think, you know, that growth is really, really important.
Mm. So when you were in India and you fell in love with dance, what did you fall in love with? Like, can you remember, like, what about it just made it feel so different than what you had done before?
Absolutely. It made sense to me. It made sense to my mind. It didn't just become now. It was just so much more about me and about the connection that I have to this world, to my body, to the earth. Whereas before, I felt like I was just dancing because I don't want to say I was just dancing, and that gives you an exhilaration as well. But I feel what always brings me back to Indian classical dance is it's that connection that all of the Indian classical dances have evolved with. It's that connection of the mind, body, and spirit. Mm. And so when I was at Kadam, you know, and we would do our footwork, which is our basic movement, we would do it for like about 40 minutes in the morning. And so after doing it, you know, for about 3 months, I was feeling this connection to the earth, which I never felt before. And it's an amazing feeling. It's a feeling of power, of having a sense of completeness, which I also, you know, talk to my students about, because it's an amazing feeling. It's very hard to talk about, but it's like when I'm doing my own riyas, I'm doing my own practice, you know, feeling that connection, feeling that whole, feeling that power within you is really amazing. And it's so rewarding. So I think that's what I mean when I fell in love with the form, because I feel like, you know, I do feel like all the Indian classical dance forms, that's the goal of the dance form. You know, it's supposed to take you to a higher level of being. And I do feel that.
That's amazing. I mean, I think just that sense of the spirit being connected to your body as well. And then, you know, I think the footwork is done without any shoes. So you're connected viscerally to the ground.
Absolutely. And that's what's really important. And in Kathak, I think what you're doing, it's like you're half in your body. So from the hip to your feet, you're connecting to the earth. And then from the waist to your head, you're connecting towards the sky.
It's like this beautiful metaphor being a bridge between these worlds, right? In some way, which is amazing, you know? So how did you get into choreography then, your own choreography? Because, you know, many dancers work as dancers in troupes with other people. Why did you begin to do your own creative work in that way?
Yeah, I think there are a few reasons why I did go into choreography and why I started making my own dances. I think, you know, the first time I started working on my own piece was about 11 years ago. And it was an idea, it was a subject that I was, you know, personally very interested in. And being that at that point, you know, dance has become my career, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted other people to think about it, regardless if they agree with me or not. And so I created this piece and we got reviewed. And it was a good review by Anna Kiselgoff from the New York Times. However, she did not understand the piece at all, and she thought it was about something absolutely different. So,
well, don't keep our listeners in suspense. What was the piece about?
The piece was about, you know, and at that time there was a lot of talk about the burqa and the identity of women, and I think at large people were saying that, you know, women shouldn't have to wear a burqa. And my belief was kind of that, you know, it's really about the individual woman, and it's really up to her, because at that point, it really is about her identity, about the way she sees herself. So, you know, I wasn't totally against the idea of wearing a burqa, because I just think it's not fair for anyone to make that judgment. The review said something about the strife in India. I don't know, something happened in India at that time. So it was totally off base. But I mean, you know, that was okay. I guess we weren't very clear in the program notes. And you know, I'm okay with that too. But I think that's why I started making my own work, because the forms, all the Indian classical dance forms are, it's so rich and the vocabulary is so deep and so well thought out, that so many dancers, all of their desires and what they would want, you know, in their personal growth and process, it can fulfill, you know, within the parameters of the form. However, for me, I just felt I wanted to talk about, you know, narratives that are more contemporary and issues that are present day. And I think that's why I started making my own work.
That sounds amazing. So we're going to hear more about some of the controversial or not controversial work that Paola has created. But we're going to take a short commercial break right now before we do.